Welcome. You are listening to Know the Name, Know the Answers. Maybe we should be calling it Get the Answers, but really we want you to know the answers because we have fabulous guests with us every week that can give you answers of a different variety. I have lawyers coming on. I have real estate people coming on. I have business experts. But this right now, we're focusing on different psychic gifts just to make it spiced and real because we want all kinds of people that are experts on our show to give you answers so that every week it's a little bit different. And of course, I've always got to put my two cents in with the names, you know. And so my two cents this week will be on the pets' names because we have with us tonight Rachel Augusta. I call her an animal whisperer. She may give herself a different title, but she knows what those animals are thinking. She knows how to fix animals and how to communicate for you on your animal's behalf. She is absolutely amazing. Now, would I have her on my show if she wasn't amazing? Of course not. So, Rachel, I want to say welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Sharon. I'm so glad to be here.
Now, what you all need to know about Rachel is she works with animals all over the world who are sick, who are injured, who have terminal illnesses, or suffer from trauma due to previous abuse. In addition to working privately with her patients, she runs a unique membership site where women and their fur babies in all stages of health have community and support because research proves that animals take on the stress of their human guardians, and this usually leads to illnesses in the animal's body. She believes that our joy is the antidote to disease in our animals and that we can heal ourselves. We heal the furry animals around us. And that is so incredibly important. Now, Rachel's business was featured in a best-selling Hay House published book called Women Rocking Business. She's been interviewed by the International Animal Protection Organization in defense of animals. And because of her activism, Rachel was interviewed by the New York Times, CNN, BBC, and was on the cover of People magazine. Now, that's no small feat. Rachel was worked with thousands of animals, and her techniques created miraculous results in her patients. She is what we would call the modern Dr. Doolittle, and she is very committed to helping us and our fur babies. So, Rachel, are you ready to answer?
I am so ready, and so is my cat, who has become extremely active around me.
Okay, now wait, Rachel, what's your cat's name?
Sugar pants.
Sugar Pants. So your cat is a smart cat and loves to have fun.
She is. I'm fending her away from the microphone as we speak, actually. I think she
Okay.
wants to take over this call, to be honest.
Well, that's okay. I love that name, Sugar Pants. It just means a lot of fun and intelligent, too. Okay, Amy. Amy, you are on line one from California. What is your question for Rachel?
Hey, Rachel and Sharon, this is Amy, and I want to ask about a stray cat I have out in our little garden area. And I call her Buttercup, but it's a male cat. And Buttercup, I like the name Buttercup, has this interesting relationship with me where I feel like she's almost there for me. And I live in a building with a lot of people, but for some reason, she always is watching me. And she is not approachable. Is that an appropriate question, or do you need a name? I
Yeah.
mean, like a real.
I don't know. Rachel, can you tie into that one or not? In the meantime, while you're tying in, Buttercup literally means if you're calling her that, it says she's going to be competitive with other animals. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Rachel, what are you
Yeah,
getting?
that's interesting. Did you now let me I know you said she, but then at one point did you say he as well? Is Buttercup a female or a male, or do we not know?
She's really a he, but for some reason I think she's a she in my
She,
mind, and I realized
okay.
that.
Yeah, Buttercup, I'm actually picking up that you guys have a history already together, that Buttercup knew you as another animal. And that's why you're confused about the gender. Did you
Yes.
have an animal companion that you were really close with as a child?
Yeah, Bootsy, my best friend's cat. She had Bootsy, and then they had a dog, Pierre, and I loved Pierre the poodle, and Bootsy was the cat. But she died when I was a little, probably 5 or 6, And then Pierre was killed in a car accident, probably when I was in 9th or 10th grade. And I loved Pierre.
So, Rachel, are you getting that Buttercup is or was Pierre or Bootsy?
Bootsy.
Bootsy.
Yeah, I'm getting that. Yeah, Buttercup was Bootsy.
That's really fascinating. You know, there's that new dog movie coming out really soon about all the different lives of the dog and how he keeps trying to find the same owners in different shapes and sizes.
Yeah, it's actually really common for them to do that. When they love somebody and want to connect with them, they will come back to you and find you. There's just there's something about when you were saying that I really felt there is a deeper connection you have with this cat. And why you keep mistaking their gender is because you know them as someone else. And I think this cat actually has some work to do with you. I'm not sure what, but some of that needs to unfold over time. But they're definitely coming into your life for a reason. How did they die when they were Bootsy?
I don't remember how Bootsy died. I was so little, you know, like 5 or 6, but I remember I loved Bootsy. And I love Pierre the poodle. I love the animals, but they weren't my animals. We weren't allowed to have them. So I don't know. But this cat right now, I don't know what to think of. I still want to call her Buttercup. It's just my heart. But
yeah. Buttercup goes both ways.
Buttercup can be male or female. Amy, thank you so much for calling in. If you want to call in, the number is 888-627-6008. Again, it's 888-627-6008. Or you can call the direct line at 323-744-4831. And we have Loretta from New York. Loretta, what is your question for Rachel?
Good evening, Sharon and Rachel.
It's Sharon. I know my name is so difficult. Blame it on my mom. But
well, say that again, please.
My name is pronounced Sharon, like my Sharona without the A.
Got you. Well,
I know it's difficult.
Thank you for clarifying.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. Loretta, what's your question for Rachel?
Okay. Thank you, Sharona. I decided to retire, and I got a message. The message said, you need a dog. And I was very resistant to it because I had been very silent in my life, very low social input and output, kind of following in a monastic type of path. So the notion of getting attached to a dog was very upsetting to me. And I decided not to listen. Well, P.S., I have Bodhi in my life now. And I asked the breeder to choose a dog that would complement who I am as a person. And I asked her for a dog that she thinks that has a loving heart, and that could bring joy, as my goal was for him to become a therapy dog, something he and I could do together. Well, it turns out that he's a very beautiful little guy, my absolute best friend, and perfect for charming and entertaining people, with the exception of he barks. He's quite a barker at anything frightening to him and unfamiliar. And I have not been able, despite my efforts, to help him with this. Therefore, he is not a therapy dog at this point because he's just too dominant, fearful.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So, okay. So a couple of things. The first thing I would say is that, so animals are really telepathic, and as humans, we think and we talk in images, mm-hmm. we create images when we're thinking and talking. And that's actually how animals, how their telepathy works. And so really we have no secrets. Animals know everything we're thinking or saying. And often when an animal is doing something that's that we don't like, let's say barking,
what we tend to do is say to them, don't bark. But what we're doing is creating an image in our head of them barking. So it can make it worse. So animals essentially don't speak in the negative. So he's fearful of something. And as humans, you might be making it worse than him accidentally. This is actually a very common thing that humans do. So one thing you need to be really mindful of is how you are thinking about this situation and how you're talking to him and others about it. So if you say, don't bark, don't bark, don't bark, he's going to actually start barking more. The better thing to do would be to think about how you do want him to behave. So you would want to think about him being calm. But if he is barking because he's afraid, you might be thinking, oh my gosh, he's afraid. He's afraid of this person. He's afraid of that person, or he's afraid of the situation. Again, what sort of images are you creating in your head around that? And you need to switch them. So instead of saying things or thinking, don't be afraid of this person, what you need to be doing is saying, everyone here is safe. You are always safe with me. I invite people into my home who love me and who care about you. And what this does is it helps pull them out of this trauma state. And the last thing I'll say on this as well is that I don't think it's his job actually to be a therapy animal to other people. I think it's his job. The reason why you were getting the message that you need a dog is because he's there for you. And so he might be barking because he's trying to tell you this, hey, lady, this isn't my jam. This is not what I want to do. I actually feel that he is actually imperative to your health, not other people's. I hope that's helpful.
Very helpful.
Yeah.
Very, very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. And I actually have some podcasts and stuff on this. I don't know, Sharon, is it okay for me to tell her
you
to
go bet.
To my website?
You know, bet.
Yeah. Head over to my website if you want, because this is kind of... sometimes barking can require some deeper practice because we really have to retrain ourselves. So head over to my website and send me a message and I can talk you through this a little bit more deeply, which it's moderndrdoolittle.com.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I look forward to it.
Okay. Sounds great.
Thank you
so much, Loretta. And I love the name Bodhi for your dog. I don't know. I was envisioning a poodle, not necessarily that you have a dog that's a poodle. Anyway.
I love that name, too.
Thank you for calling in. Sure appreciate you. We have Amanda, online from Arizona. Amanda, you have a whole bevy of dogs, or I don't know what you call them. What do you call a whole bunch of dogs?
A pack.
Thank you. She has more than a pack. I think she has enough for 2 or 3 packs. Anyway, we love the fact that you called in, Amanda. And this is Rachel Augusta, and she is the modern day Dr. Doolittle, and she can answer questions. Now, I understand you just took in a whole lot because you rescue pets, that you took in a whole lot of more ones. And I just thought this would be a great opportunity for you to go one by one and get Rachel to give you feedback on this new animal in your life.
That would be awesome.
Yes, and thank you for being a rescuer. I love that.
All right, well, I have 3 new little ones. The first one is Lolly, and she's a Shih Tzu, approximately age 16.
Wow. Okay. Good.
So let's talk about that one, and then we'll go to the next one.
Okay, so what's going on with Lolly?
I've just had her a couple of weeks. She's standoffish in the bedroom, but she's turning into a snuggler, and I'm wondering if there's anything I can do to make the end of her life happier.
Oh, I love that question. You know what? Yes, definitely. I think that when we enter that phase, it's all about happiness, bringing as much pain relief and happiness as possible. Is she have physical pain? Is she in physical pain? Do you know?
Well, she has some arthritis and stiffness, but I have addressed that with the vet recently. And
okay,
she's
good.
On all these nutritional supplements now.
Okay, good. Yeah, end of life, or when they're, you know, older seniors or whatever, it's all just about happiness. But one thing, since you have a lot of animals, I feel called to tell you. What can happen in households, I work with a lot of people who rescue and they end up with a lot of animals. And even if you're not rescuing and you bring a new animal into the house, it's really important to establish roles. And so everybody wants a job. Everybody wants to feel as though they have purpose. And to set her up for success, we want to make sure all the other animals are very aware of their role in the house. And she's going to want one too. And what how we do that is we think about who they are and their personalities. And because you might just be getting to know some of these animals, you might not really know who they are yet, but this is a good job for you to do down the line. And as you're doing this, and you know, some animals love being guard dogs, some animals or, you know, guard cat, some enjoy being the creative muse. Some are the, you know, announcer, the greeter, the butler. Some of them are your snugglers. Like they all have something different that they like to do. And what I'm really picking up with Lolly is she's going to want purpose in the house instead of it just coming to a place where she's just coming to age and then pass on. I feel that she's going to really be proud and feel good knowing that she has contributed to your household in a really positive way. Does that make sense?
Yes, I'd like her to be my snuggler.
Yeah, she sounds like that was kind of falling into that role. And the great thing about doing this is then when the animals are very aware of their roles, and I have my clients like write it out, write it on a piece of paper, show it to your animals, read it to them. It's so great because what it does is it prevents too many like admin assistants. You know, like we don't, when you work in an office, there's usually one office manager. And if there's three, then they start stepping on each other's toes. And so because she's new in the house and she's feeling a little unsettled and we want her to feel comfortable and we want her to feel safe, it's really good if everybody is very aware of what their roles are.
All right. How about the next one? Baby.
Yeah. Baby.
Now, baby has a collapsed trachea and so she's fragile.
Mm-hmm. Super fragile. Yeah. You know, I'm getting one thing I actually love recommending to my clients who have animals with a lot of pain, an easy go-to is CBD oils. CBD oils are very safe and they offer a lot of pain relief, and they'd also be good for Lolly with her arthritis. And I know she's on other stuff, so it's something to think about. They're so safe, though, that they sell them at pet food stores. And so, you know, you could give them each a drop, and it's going to help relax the muscles in her body and kind of help set her baby up for success so that she's not in that constant state. I mean, trachea, collapsed trachea can be very painful, but it's also really scary, but especially if they get stressed. So it kind of, CBD oils can really help calm them down, and it's just a little bit. And I think that would be a really easy go-to. And, you know, again, if you wanted to talk more about some other options, you could head over to, you know, my site, or I could talk you through that a little bit more, because sometimes that requires something a little bit deeper, and I'd want to know what your vets say. How long has her trachea been like that?
I'll be honest, I don't know. I just got her. She's also approximately 11 to 12 years of age. I've had her 2 weeks, and the vet has actually recommended the CBD oil. I haven't gotten that yet.
Awesome.
And we've got her on these other things. So we're trying, before we do a stent, we're trying to do this nutritionally because she is of an age where the surgery will be quite traumatic.
Exactly. Yeah.
Rachel, before we go to the third dog, would you give out your website again so that Amanda's got it and other people have it?
Yeah, it's moderndrdoolittle.com, or you can Google Rachel Augusta. It's like the month of August with an A on the end. And, you know, and the thing is, I'm glad that your vet is doing that because surgery is really traumatic. And that's why he recommended the CBD oils, is because what CBD oils do, I mean, relaxation in general, and this is for any of your babies that are not feeling well, like anybody who's listening whose animals just don't feel well, I want to explain to you the power of relaxation. When you are relaxed, your brain, or happy, your brain creates endorphins and serotonin, which relaxes your muscles, which creates oxygenated blood. And with oxygenated blood, your body can absorb nutrients more efficiently from food and from medicines. The stomach starts creating digestive enzymes. And with that, your hormones start to regulate. And after your hormones regulate, your body starts detoxing and then new cell growth happens. That's the physiological relaxation response. That's what it's called. And this is why if any of us were to go to the doctor with a broken arm, they're going to ask you what your pain level is. You can't heal if you're in pain. And so if you say a 2, they're going to give you an Advil. But if you say a 10, they're going to give you a Percocet. We're trying to create that new cell growth in the body. So CBD oils, it's not just about like, oh, well, this will make them feel better. It can actually create new cell growth in the body and set them up for success while offering pain relief. So
that is amazing to me that you can get that oil at a pet store. And yet, as I've been listening to you, Rachel, I remembered when I was in college and I got sick and I called my dad, who's a physician, and I said, you know, this is what's going on and I'm really sick. And he says, you need to get an antibiotic or, you know, and I said, great. How long is that going to take? You know, I'm in a different city than you. And he said, oh, just go down to the local pet store. They have the exact same antibiotics that I would give you. They just have it in smaller sizes. So you need a little bit more of them. Yeah. And he said, and they have it for the fish. They put them in fish tanks. So this is what you go get at the pet store. Not a problem. And I thought, great, you need a prescription anywhere else, but you can go to the pet store and get it for free, you know, get it without. Right.
You know, exactly. And this is why I love CBD oils, because they give you they offer pain relief, but they don't have the side effects. I mean, the side effects are that your animal might sleep a little bit more, be a little bit more tired when you first start giving them as their body adjusts, but there's no real negative side effects. They're not going to harm the kidneys or the liver, and they're easy to administer. They are, you know, they just can bring so much healing and so much relaxation as well. And in fact, the previous caller with the barking dog, I mean, CBD would help for even an animal who's afraid, because it's just going to calm them down. So yeah, I love that they are being sold now in pet food stores.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Amanda, who's your third dog that you just got?
The third dog would be Bo, and he was abandoned by his family at the pound. Because his age.
Ugh. That's so infuriating to me. Yes, it's so common. Okay. Bo is really going to need... so first of all, this goes back to telepathy, which is the previous caller we were talking about this. So animals are reading everything we're thinking and feeling. And one thing we often do, and I see this in rescue, and I work with a lot of sanctuaries and shelters, is we tend to tell their story. And what that does is it keeps them in a state of victimhood. And so we do it with good intentions, but, you know, we might say, oh, this dog was thrown out of a car and then they hurt their leg. And we tell that story, but it starts to be where we are telling that story more for ourselves than for the animal. So, and I'm not saying you're doing this. I just want to be clear that the best thing we can do for Bo is to not talk about how horrible his previous humans were, even though that would be my go-to, but to focus on his future with you. And so I really think you need to sit down with him and have a conversation, because who knows what was said at the shelter or what happened before he got to you. But I would say to him, Bo, you are an amazing you're an amazing dog, and your humans felt they couldn't take care of you in a way that someone else like me could. And that's why you're now living with me. And you're so loved, and you are so lovable. And I am so lucky to have you here in this house with me and with the other animals.
See, that's beautiful. Now, Amanda, you have other pets also. What are all of their names? Because I want to look at all the names together.
Pee-wee and Peaches.
And Peaches. So when I'm looking at the names, first of all, baby's going to get along with Lolly and Bo, but kind of be hesitant around Pee-wee and Peaches. And that Lolly and Bo are going to have, you know, conflict on who wants to be the boss, because they both do. And so if you let Lolly know that she's the cuddle bunny one, and you can let Bo know that he can be the one in charge, everybody will let Bo be in charge. And as long as Lolly's getting all your lap time, she's not going to care that she had to relinquish being in charge to Bo.
Okay.
That's according to their names. Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say that, Sharon, as well, because when I was picking up that Lolly wants to be boss, even though she's older, you know, and because she is older as well, I feel like it's going to play into that, where she's like, look, I've been around the block. I know what's what. So I think what Sharon told you is going to be really super helpful.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your help.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Thanks for calling in, Amanda.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day, ladies.
Thanks.
Thank you. You too. If you would like your questions answered about your animals, please call 323-744-4831. 323-744-4831. Or you can call 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Now, before we go to the next caller, Rachel, I have a question for you. Yeah. Did you always know that you wanted to work with animals, or did something happen in your life that then caused you to want to work with animals? What's the story?
Yeah, you know, I did not always know that I wanted to work with animals. In fact, it's not that I didn't want to. I just never really considered it to be an option. What happened was my own animal companion, and I really think of her as my soul companion. She got really sick. And because of her age, she was 17, the vet's diagnosis and then prognosis was really grim. And basically she said, she's old, she's had a good life, you know, she'll die. She's a 17-year-old cat. There's really not much we can do, and gave her a couple of weeks to live. But I, you know, like any guardian or mom, was like, no, I'm not okay with that answer. And it drove me into researching what I could do. And, you know, she really, I started telling people, this responsibility to her became an opportunity for me, because in my effort to help her, this was actually, I just wanted to help her. It was never my plan for this to be my job, but, Holly ended up living an additional 3 years with a 2-week diagnosis. And so all of my friends and colleagues and people could see the success, and they started handing me their animals. Here, help my bunny. Here, help my dog. Here, help my cat. Help them. And all of a sudden I was like, wait, I think this is my job. And I stopped resisting it. I was actually in the process of becoming a clothing manufacturer. And so I stopped what I was doing with that and started working with animals full time.
That is incredible. Okay, Pauline from New York. Pauline, what's your question for Rachel?
Yes, I'm here.
What happened? Okay, yay. I'm glad we waited for you there, Pauline. Pauline, do you have a question
Hello?
Yes, you're on air. Pauline, do you have a question for Rachel?
My sister has two dogs she rescued, and they're, I guess, peeing wherever the heck they want, and she's really getting annoyed at them. Is there something you could, if she has a private meeting with you through the phone line, you can talk to the animals and try to get them to knock it off?
Yeah, you could
need to be trained, so I don't know how you can do this.
Pauline, could you turn off the radio or however you're listening to us in the background?
Let me go turn off the other phone, because that phone is probably still going.
Okay, great. And so Rachel, when you're thinking about it, I think a lot of animals will start peeing, and there's different reasons that animals would pee in different places. I know that when we got our dog from the pound, and then I was late coming home from work one time, the poor dog was just shivering in the corner, knowing it was going to get beaten up, and because it was a rescue for us. And we went over there and I hugged it and I said, I'm so sorry I'm late, and how nice of you to go right by the back door to tell me you knew to go out. And I am so sorry. And I petted and I hugged it. And, you know, we never had another accident from that dog.
I love that, Sharon. I love that story. It makes me so happy. It like warms my heart to hear you say that.
Can I give you the name of the dog?
Pauline, you know, honestly, peeing can be, there can be quite a few reasons. I'm actually not sure how much time we have to talk about this. But peeing, it can be behavioral, it can be fear. But I will say sometimes, a lot of times, most of the time, there is an illness. And so as long as we know there is actually nothing wrong with them, then we can start from there. But a lot of
times,
So don't go ahead.
No, my sister has a healing center. So for her to be involved with have animals that are acting like this is kind of weird. So maybe the fact that she has a center and a lot of people come there, maybe there's like some spirits or something that's hanging around that's making them scared.
Yeah, they might be picking up on a lot of stress actually from the people that are there. This actually, what you're explaining kind of marries well with one of the other calls of therapy animals or just having animals that, you know, are around us while others are going through therapy. So animals, humans have an energy body, an energy field that's 4 to 6 feet. And dogs have one that's 10 times bigger than ours. And so, and a cat's is even bigger. Cats can be like the size of a whole city block. And so what that means is that they're in everybody's energy field all the time. It would be like if you were in an elevator with 15 other people, and it starts to feel oppressive. And the dogs might be having a hard time coping, especially because they might not know what their role is at the therapy center. You know, they might be thinking, am I here to help? Am I here to be bear witness? Am I supposed to be taking this on?
Right.
I don't think she's
given them a role.
Right.
That's a great
answer. It might be very stressful for the dogs. And one of the best things she could do is just say, you're just here for me to bring comfort to me. And unless they actually, she has them there for a specific reason, but it might, you know, that might be something where it's like, let's talk the dogs through it. Let's actually find out what their role is. They might not be comforters, you know, like that might not be what they want to be doing. They might, you know, they might have something else in mind, and it just might not fit their personality type in the same way that, you know, a shaking, trembling Chihuahua is not a guard dog. So to say you're a guard dog, they're going to be like, what, me? I'm horrible at that. I don't want to do that. And it would turn them into a shaky, terrified mess. These two dogs might be in this situation where they're like, this is very stressful. Being around a bunch of humans that are trying to heal, and we're not really sure.
They've not even been a year with her, so I don't think they know their role. Well, you're right. I think that's it.
Yeah. And so I would say definitely you or your sister head over to my site. I want more background detail.
I tried to get the modern Dr. Doolittle. Doesn't come up, but your name, that one came up. So I don't know
I'm
typing in wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Rachel, is Dr. spelled out or a DR?
It's just DR. Modern DR Doolittle. Yeah.
I did it
that
both
might
ways
be...
and I couldn't get through. Maybe it's my computer. I don't know. But I got through immediately with Rachel Augusta.
Okay, good.
Yay. You know what, Pauline, what I'm curious about? Because the dogs keep peeing, and another way of saying peeing is they're pissing. And I always think, what are they pissed off about that they want to keep pissing on everything?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sort of interesting. You're right.
Yeah.
Can I give you the two names of the dogs that we, I mean, they're cute?
Oh, yes.
Amy,
go ahead.
And Misty. Amy and Misty. Isn't Misty funny? The name for Misty, if you're peeing all over the place. I don't know which one is the one that's peeing all over the place. It's like they act, there's one dog that acts like he's guilty when we ask her, which one he is did it? They're the one that runs away is the one we think did it.
Oh, my
that's,
God, that's so funny.
Misty. I think it's Misty that did it.
Well, I can tell you from their names that Misty really, really wants to be liked, okay? But she can be quite stubborn or quite persistent, and that she's going to keep trying to turn that situation into anything that she wants because she needs to have it where it's acceptable to her. And so Misty would be, what I say between the two names, probably the more guilty one, simply because she's saying, it's not happening for me. You need to change so that this situation's better for me. And yet, and the name Amy is the workaholic, the observant dog, the one that's going to do what needs to happen and able to fit in and enable to get along because Amy thinks security is more important than, you know, making anybody upset. So Amy's the harmonizer and the one that is just like the peaceful one saying, everybody just needs to get along. But Misty's saying, I'm going to manipulate this.
they sound like duality. One dog is like wants to get along. The other one just wants to cause mischief. It sounds like it to me, I mean, even though you didn't say that.
Right. But in Misty's name, it doesn't say mischief. It just simply says manipulation to get what I need.
Right. Got it. Play Misty for me. Was that song go?
Oh, that was a really oldie, but a good one.
Thank you so much, guys.
Sharon,
my brother's partner's name is Misty, and I'm going to tell her, I'm just going to repeat everything you said because I feel like you described her very well as well.
Rachel, before I hang up, can I ask you, do you also get in touch with animals who have crossed over?
I don't personally, but I do know people who do. I really like to focus on the ones who are here and who maybe have medical or trauma or just helping them adjust. But I do know people. If you, again, if you contact me, I can recommend some really good people for you.
Okay, thank
and,
you so much.
And Pauline, I also know people that can do that. So get a hold of either one of us, either rachel@gusta.com or knowthename.com. And thank you so much, Pauline, for calling in. We need to go to our commercial break. Stay tuned. Our commercial's not very long, and we will be right back.
How would you like to be able to read other people's minds? Well, the next best thing is here. When you know how to read a person's name, you know how the person thinks, feels, and behaves. Each letter in our name holds a key to unlock our true essence. Our name contains both our gifts and challenges in this lifetime. Nemology science discovers personality secrets hidden in the placement of the letters of our names, including the first and last impression people remember about us. Sharon shows us how to interpret the arrangement of letters as outlined in her book, Know the Name, Know the Person. Sharon Lynn Wyeth created Nemology Science after 18 years of research and testing her theories and has supported thousands of people around the world in understanding themselves and others better. You'll enjoy Sharon's unique teachings as she shares her system to learn the gifts behind your given birth name. Even if you don't like your birth name, there are jewels in this book. If you're thinking of changing your name, ready to name your child, or wanting to get along better with others, this is the book for you. If you'd like to improve your relationships and change your life for the better, get the book today, Know the Name, Know the Person, or visit www.knowthename.com. That's www.knowthename.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to Know the Name, Know the Answers with your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth, right here on BBS Station 1. And if you would like to call in and ask a question of our guest, the call-in numbers are 888-627-6008. Again, 888, toll-free, 627-6008. Or the direct line is 323-744-4831. Again, 323-744-4831 or on Skype at 530-636-6080. You can also type in Skype BBS Radio PR. So it's 530-636-6080 if you're calling from a Skype line. Now, Rachel, before we go to our next guest and before we have a few emailed in questions, I want to know something else, and that is, how do you heal the body or put cancer into remission without using any of the Western drugs like chemo? Because you've talked about that before, and I just thought that would be fabulous to share with our listening audience.
Yeah, I thank you for bringing that up. It's just, I love talking about this. I love talking about cancer because it's one of the scariest, diagnosis you can get, but it's also cancer is one of the diseases that we know most about. And so oftentimes when people tell me, you know, their animal has cancer, my thought is sometimes, well, at least it's a disease we know something about, because there are other diseases that we know nothing about. So cancer is a low vibration energy in the body, and this is how it's actually picked up on tests or scans. If a woman was to go get her, you know, a breast exam, this is how they're going to pick it up. They're looking at the energy in the body, and they'll be able to see it because it's not the same energy as the healthier parts of the body. And so because it's a low vibration energy, the body sees it sort of as an embryo that it needs to feed, and this is how it grows. So we need to really raise the vibration of the cancer so that the body sees it as a foreign entity, object it needs to kill. And this is actually how radiation works. And so you can do this with energy work by raising the vibration of the cancer within the body. The other thing is that physiological relaxation response that I explained earlier on the call, and I'll just go over it really quickly again, just in case anybody is new tuning in. cancer really goes after the immune system. So you need to build up the immune system. And you can do that by triggering the physiological relaxation response. And you can do that through energy work. You can do that through CBD oils. You can do that really with anything that's going to trigger the brain to release the endorphins, the serotonin, dopamine. Because when you do that, your muscles relax. And when your muscles relax, your blood becomes oxygenated, which allows you to absorb nutrients and nutrients more efficiently from your food and from your medication. The stomach starts creating digestive enzymes. Hormones start to regulate. The body detoxes and new cell growth happens. And that new cell growth is what we really want to see in cancer. So, you know, it sounds woo-woo and it sounds crazy, but some of the best things you can do for cancer patients is have a lot of happiness in their life. And it's really common that when someone is sick or when they do get diagnosed with something terrible like that, we want to, you know, shelter them, take them and put them in a box and don't let, you know, like wrap them in bubble wrap and not let anything happen to them. And really with animals, that can be, and, you know, humans, it takes away your will to live. So some of the best things we can do for dogs and cats who have cancer or horses or whatever animals is do things with them that they love and that they enjoy.
I always think keep a lot of laughter in the house. Love your input, Rachel. We have a lineup waiting for you. So we would like to go to Vita from Toronto. And Vita, I may be mispronouncing it. How am I doing on your name?
No, you're saying it perfectly.
Well, great. Oh, you have a sexy, likable name. I hope you know that.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you like to include people and you're good with people and you just attract people to you and you can turn on that charm or turn it off depending on how you're feeling, just like a light switch. But my God, you've got natural charisma with that name. Anyway, Vita, you called in to get a question answered about your pet. What would you like to ask Rachel?
What I would like to ask is actually, I had a pet and she passed and everything. I had her for quite a long time, 16 years. So what I just wanted to know is how soon is it okay to have another pet? And should it be the same kind? I had a beautiful cat, but I was just wondering, should I switch to having a dog?
You know, Vita, first of all, I'm sorry that you lost your fur baby. That's always hard. And it's very hard. You know, everyone's different. Some people need time and some people don't. So really, it depends on you and how you're feeling. And if you feel like you had a cat and now you need a dog, do that. If you want to have another cat, have another cat. Whatever you feel is right for you is what you should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm a little confused. When I see a dog, I want a dog. When I see a cat, I want to see a cat. You know.
Maybe you should do both.
Okay. So,
want to solve that situation? That's a great idea. I have both. Yeah, keep
I'm going to answer according to your name. How do we do? How about if we do that? Okay. So, Vita, in your name, you have more of a proclivity to get more from your pet and to enjoy it more if it's a dog versus a cat, and that's what's in your name. So I would recommend get a dog.
Okay, great. That's fabulous.
I cheat. I much, just look Rachel. At the names.
Oh, yeah, and I was wondering, what would I name the dog?
And you know what? When it comes to naming the dog, you give me a call. Because the names of dogs you can interpret and that develops their personality just like it does in a person. Okay. And so that's really easy to do. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Vita, we just wish you the best and how wonderful that you've got an open heart enough and that you can, you know, grieve and still have room for a lot of love that you're ready to have another animal come in. I think that's just absolutely beautiful.
It is.
Thank you for calling, Vita. You know how to get a hold of us? Okay. And you know how to get a hold of us, either at rachelagusta.com or at knowthename.com. We both look forward to hearing from you, Vita. Okay, Carolyn from New York on line 2. What's your question for Rachel?
Hello.
Hi, Carolyn. Yes, that's you. I recognize your voice.
Well, I know. Well, the problem is it's not about pets. It's about my dogs are my favorite people. now.
Animals are my favorite people, too.
Yeah, dogs are my favorite people. But the problem is, I don't think that are, I think it's racist. No. I'm trying to figure out, should I stay with this physical therapist or go to the other one? The other one is free. The one I'm going to is paying $60. I have to pay $60, which I can't afford to. And I'm very hesitant to move, but at the same time, I'm forced to. But I don't think it has anything to do with my pet.
So what are you saying? You're saying that because of where you're going to be moving to, you can no longer have pets there?
No, it's too small. My place, I live in a matchbox here in New York, so it's too small.
Okay, so are you able to take your pets out for a run? I mean, I know that I lived with a Great Dane in a very small area, but as long as I took that Great Dane out to run twice a day, you know, I had this huge area park, and he would just do these huge circle eights in there, and he was fine living in a small area. So Rachel, what do you think? Dogs and cats in a small area?
Yeah, it can definitely be done. And you know, and the other thing, if what you're thinking is you want an ant, I'm unclear if you maybe you don't have one, but it makes you sad because you don't have one. For those
I say hello to all the little I see three very cute puppies here on the street. I say hello to all the puppies. That's hello, puppy. Oh, I'm talking to a very cute puppy here.
Right. Sweet, so I think puppy. one thing you could do if you want to have more interaction with animals, but you can't live with them, is, you know, go volunteer at a shelter. Those animals need to be, dogs need to be walked. They need somebody there loving them. And it'll just be really amazing for you to volunteer.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Carolyn, for calling in.
Oh, you're awesome.
Rachel, what's the biggest takeaway you give people who live with animals who want to keep them healthy? What's the biggest thing that it would be the greatest thing for them to know?
You know, I almost mentioned this on your last question, so I'm glad we're getting an opportunity to talk about it now because we were talking about cancer. So one of the best things that humans can do is be mindful of their emotions. Animals, we've known for a long time that dogs and other animals can smell fear, but the truth is that all of our emotions come with a smell, and they can smell all of them. And it wasn't until 2017, actually, a group of scientists from the Department of Biology in Italy, they were able to prove that not only do animals smell our emotions, but they feel them with us. So what does that mean? That means if I'm really angry and I'm having a bad day, not only will my dog or cat or another animal that I'm living with be able to smell that emotion on me, they'll be able to feel that on me. Now, why does that matter? Well, we know that negative emotions can put a human's body into fight or flight mode. So if I'm constantly living in a state of stress or anger, my body's creating cortisol, and cortisol leads to tumors, and tumors lead to cancer. And if my animals can smell that anger on me, they're also feeling it with me. And so their bodies are also going into a state of fight or flight, creating cortisol. Cortisol leads to tumors, and tumors lead to cancer. So it's actually very common that in my patients, that if my patients are really sick, it's typically because their human or their guardians have been actually going through something very emotional and traumatic for an extended period of time. So I think one of the best things that we can do, and I believe one of the best forms of preventative medicine in our home, is to be mindful of our emotions. And I'm not saying not to feel your feelings, because when hard things come up, you do need to feel it, but not to stay and live in those places and not to let our emotions get the best of us. Because our animals are feeling those feelings with us. And so, you know, joy, I really do believe that joy is the antidote to a lot of disease, not just in ourselves, but in our animal companions.
We have a very quickie because of time, but one of the emails that I wanted to get to was there's two families, and family number one sends their two dogs over to family number two every time they take a vacation, which is frequent. And then family number two takes their dog over to family number one every time they take a vacation. So the three dogs are together most of the time, but not all the time when they're separated. And what they're asking Is that a good idea to always take them to the same place, or do those dogs get sad when their people are gone?
No, it's great. I mean, what they've done is they've established they've been able to show the dogs that when we leave, we come back and get you. And they've created a safe place so the animals know, oh yeah, that's right, I'm going to be with you, I'm going to play with you, and then I get to go home. And there is no uncertainty. You know, when they're uncertain and they're unclear as to what's going on, that's when problems arise. That's when peeing happens. That's when separation anxiety roars its ugly head up into families and homes with animals. So what they're doing is actually great. And I'd say the only thing that they should do in addition to that is tell the animals, we're going on vacation, we can't take you with, you're going over to this person's house, we're going to be gone from May 12th to May 20th, you know, and just really talking the animals through that.
Oh, that's wonderful. I have so many friends that are pet lovers. It's just amazing, you know, yeah. And I often think that those people love their pets more than they love their people around them. But, you know, totally. That's debatable.
You know, because they are the keepers of our secrets. We go to them with all of our secrets. They know everything about us. So, yes.
That's great. Yes. Tell us again, Rachel, how we can get a hold of you. There are two websites and...
Yeah, so all rachelaugusta.com or moderndrdoolittle.com all leads to the same place, and doctor's just DR, modern DR Doolittle. And you can find me there. You can Google my name. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn. And yeah, I'm all over social media, so it shouldn't be a problem. Just Google me and you'll be able to find me.
Now on Facebook, you're under the Gutsy Crackle. How did you get that name?
Yeah, the Gutsy Grackle, and it's currently in the process of changing. The Gutsy Grackle was my original business name, and that I came to that name because I watched a baby grackle bird. For those of you who don't know what grackles are, they're a very beautiful little blackbird. I got to watch this baby learn how to fly, and it was one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had. Grackles, just like robins and some other birds, they jump out of the nest before they have their feathers. So they have to learn how to fly, and they're on the ground. And I thought, wow, that takes a lot of guts to jump out of a nest without any feathers. And so I named my business the Gutsy Grackle because I got to spend a week watching this little bird and his whole family root him on, cheer him on. The whole family played different roles. And, you know, I'd watch him have temper tantrums when he was trying to run and jump off of a rock and see if he could fly, and then he couldn't. And it was just one of the more beautiful experiences I've had. So I named my business after that, but recently changed it to Modern Dr. Doolittle. So
fabulous. Thank you, Rachel, so much for being with us. We have two new things coming up. One is we have added to the calendar a level one Namology Science workshop near Jackson, Mississippi from June 14th and 15th. Two long days. But by the end of two long days, you'll be able to interpret a name. Nothing will stump you. So if you're interested in that, get a hold of us at knowthename.com. The other thing is next week, our guest will be Susan Klopstein. Now, Susan Klopstein is a medical intuitive. She literally can see things in the body as if she was an X-ray machine, and she can tell you what's going on in there and some alternative ways that are non-prescription on what to do about it. She is absolutely amazing. I have seen and witnessed her work for the past 20-something years, and often jointly we have done presentations together. So she is an amazing being. You definitely don't want to miss next week, just like you didn't want to miss this week. Again, this is Sharon Lynn Wyeth of Know the Name, Know the Answers, signing off.